All right, good evening, everyone. It's great to see everyone. Thank you so much for coming, at least over Zoom. So the learning tonight, of course, should be Refuah Shlema for all those who need it in Klal Yisrael and in the world. And it should be a zchus that this virus, Mitzvah Shem, is eradicated very soon. So tonight, we're going to be discussing a number of Divrei Torah from the Haggadah. And I wanted to do it in the context of a psychological perspective when it comes to trauma. Because if you think about the mitzvah of Chayav Adam Liras as Asmo, Kilhu Yatza Mimitzrayim, which basically means that a person has to try as best as they can to re-experience as if they left Mitzrayim. So we don't just think about the salvation, we don't think about the Yeshuas and how great it was with all the miracles that Hashem did, etc. But as we know, there's a halacha that when it comes to the mitzvah at the Seder of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story, it's not just to go straight to the ending and to go straight to the salvation, but rather there's a halacha of Maschil Beganus or Masayim Beshvach, which basically means that you have to start off with the difficult times. According to one opinion in the Gemara, it's talking about the actual Shibud, the actual slavery, and according to another opinion, it's the Mitzchila Odei Avodah Zarah, how our forefathers were actually idol worshippers. But either way, you have to start with the difficult times. You can't go straight to the salvations. And I think that itself is telling us that when we think of reliving the Avdus and the Cheiras, so it's not just thinking about the positives and how great everything was when we left Mitzrayim, but it's really going through the difficult times. And it was a traumatic experience for our nation. Trauma, on a very basic level, is defined in the psychological world as a person or a group of people going through very stressful situations, very scary situations, and it could be one situation or it could be a more chronic scenario the person is going through, and that stress and that anxiety ends up having long-term impacts on that individual's brain and on their functioning. So Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, and when we know the Psukim, we know the Midrashim, they were really traumatized with their children being thrown into the water and men being beaten, women being raped. There was a lot going on that would definitely qualify as trauma. So when we think about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're also thinking about the trauma that Klal Yisrael endured, and also how the salvation, how the Geula was somewhat of a remedy for that trauma. So what I want to try to do tonight is just go through a few ideas throughout the Seder about how the Seder is trying to teach us resilience and is trying to teach us different mindsets and skills that we could use to overcome trauma. And the same way that Klal Yisrael were able to do that eventually as they became a free nation, hopefully it'll give us lessons, even in 2020, how to develop our own sense of resilience, especially during difficult times. So the first thing to really start with is the fact that the Seder night constitutes, of course, a Seder. And a Seder means that we have a very structured, predictable order of what we're going to be doing at the Seder. And I think that itself is already therapeutic when a slave is becoming free, and when someone who is traumatized is trying to move on from that trauma. Because a slave doesn't have any Seder, a slave doesn't have any predictability, it's a chaotic lifestyle. Whatever the master says, that's what they have to do. Things could just happen on a whim, they might not know what's about to come, and they might not know what scary thing is lying ahead of them. So the fact that we start off with the Seder is another way of saying that we're going to try to create as much structure and predictability as we possibly can. And I think this is especially a relevant idea for these days, as a lot of people do feel this sense of chaos and lack of predictability and lack of structure from their daily routine. And that's why I've been telling a lot of my patients, actually, that the more structure they could create, whether they're adults or kids, the more structure they could have, the more predictability they have, the more sense of control they could have over their life, even when things seem chaotic. So I think just the fact that we start with a Seder is already telling to how we're trying to act like free men and to be resilient from our trauma from Mitzrayim. So then, of course, we start with Kaddish. And Kaddish is the beginning of the Seder, which is Kiddush. So on the one hand, it's quite obvious why we would start with Kaddish, because that's what we do every Shabbos, every Yontif. But I think there's more to be said, again, along these same lines of trying to overcome these traumatic feelings of being an avdus, because when we're Mekadesh the night, when we're Mekadesh the day, of course we're taking control of our time. There are a lot of Mefarshim that talk about how the reason why Kiddush every Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis and Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. That it's not just to remember the creation of the world, it's also to remember the fact that we left Mitzrayim, because that's not as intuitive. Why is it to remember that we left Mitzrayim? But many Mefarshim say that it's actually to remind us that when we left Mitzrayim, we became free and we had our sense of time. So we could sanctify time, we could control time, and we could make time as holy as possible. So we start with Kaddish, not just because we do that every Yontif night, but it's also to remind ourselves that when we became free, the time is now ours to use. And an added element to this, I think, is brought out from a very interesting midrash that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky quotes in Parsha Shemos. At the end of Parsha Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and says that the people are working very hard, and we also need to get out of here. We need to leave Mitzrayim. And one thing that Paro says is that I'm not going to let them out. I'm actually going to make the work even harder. And he says, "Va'al yishu b'divrei shaker," and they should not be involved with these words of sheker. So what words of sheker is Paro referring to when Paro says they shouldn't be involved in the words of sheker? So the Midrash in Shemos Rabbah, Parsha Hey Osir Ches, actually says that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, first of all, at first, didn't have to work on Shabbos. And secondly, what would they do on Shabbos? They would have these megillos that were passed down from their parents, who passed it down from all the way from the Avos and the Imahos, that it was the story of Klal Yisrael, and it was the story about how the Jewish people would actually one day be redeemed, and they would be freed. So they would read these megillos, it was their story, and it was the story of how God told Abraham that they would be enslaved and they would one day come out of Mitzrayim. So they would read these books on Shabbos. So the Divrei Shaker that Paro was referring to, according to this Midrash, is they're not going to be allowed to take off on Shabbos anymore, and they won't be able to read these books of Sheker telling them that one day they're going to be freed. So basically what Paro was doing by taking away Shabbos, it wasn't just saying that you have to work 7 days a week now. You can't take off any days. But it was also breaking Klal Yisrael's spirit, because it was saying, I don't want them getting in their head that this thing might actually end. Al yishu b'divrei shaker. They can't have any hope by reading these megillos. So just to connect that to, I think, what Kaddish is about and sanctifying the day and the night, and by saying that this Kiddush is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, I think it's also telling us that we're reminded that every time we have a Shabbos, every time we have a Yontif, we're reminded of the fact that we lost Shabbos when we were in Mitzrayim. And we didn't just lose the day of rest, we lost the day to reflect and to have hope that there's a bigger picture here and that we will get out of this one day. Once Klal Yisrael lost that, they weren't able to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. So the Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush is we're saying that Shabbos is a Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the fact that we left Mitzrayim gave us back Shabbos. It gave us the ability to have our day that we could really reflect about what it means to be a Jew, but more so to have that belief in the future that things will get better. And Mirtz Hashem, this year as well, as we reflect on the Seder night, we should try to be mindful of the fact that Hashem has a plan, and Mirtz Hashem, things will get better, hopefully very soon. And then moving on from Kaddish, we do Orchatz and Karpas. So Karpas, a lot of different Torah about what the dipping represents. So there's a beautiful essay by J.J. Shach, the Shlita, in one of the Wayu Haggadahs that was put out a number of years ago. And he quotes a relatively famous Rabbeinu Rokeach, I believe it is. No, I think it's Rabbeinu Manoach, who says that the dipping of the Karpas into the salt water is to remind us of the dipping of the brothers dipping the Ketonas Pasim of Yosef into the blood. As we know the story, the brothers made up a whole story that Yosef was actually killed by a wild beast, and they took his Ketonas Pasim and dipped it in blood to show the proof that he was eaten by a wild animal. So says Rabbeinu Manoach, It's actually to remember the karpas. Even the word karpas reminds us of the ketonas pasim, is to remember the dipping of the ketonas pasim. So the obvious question on that is, what's the connection between that dipping and the beginning of the Seder? So on the one hand, and this is probably what the Rabbeinu Manoach says, on the one hand, it's because, as we know, the hatred that the brothers had to Yosef and the whole event of Yosef being thrown into the pit was really what led to the Jews going down to Mitzrayim in the first place, because that's why Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim, and then the family had to go to get food, and as we know, the whole story unfolds. So on the one hand, we're remembering that Sinas Chinam and this act of dipping the blood was part of what set in motion the whole story of Sheba Mitzrayim and then Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why we're reminded of this dipping. Rav Schachter has another approach, and he fits it into a number of other marmakomas as well, that the story of Yosef is really a story of resilience. It's really a story of the ups and downs of a salvation process. Because if you think about it, Yosef starts off on top. He's the favorite son of Yaakov Avinu. He gets the Ketonas Pasim. He's on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, he's on the bottom. He's in the bottom of a pit with nowhere to turn. And then he gets pulled out, of course, down to Mitzrayim. He's in jail, gets pulled out, and he is the advisor to Potiphar. Then, of course, we know what happens if the Ishus Potiphar, back into jail. Highs, lows. Then, of course, with the interpreting the dreams, gets pulled out of jail, second in command of all of Mitzrayim. So the story of Yosef, says Schachter, is really a story of the ups and downs, and how really throughout Klal Yisrael's history, we're always modeling that story of Yosef, and how the Geula process, redemption, is not linear. It's not that gradually things get better and better and better and better and better, and then all of a sudden there's the final redemption. But there are ups and downs. There may be an up, something that brings us closer to redemption. Again, this is either on an individual level or on a national level. And then there's a dip. But then things can get better again. And then there might be another dip. But eventually, this process brings us to the Geula. And I think that's a very important message when it comes to resilience and overcoming trauma as well. Sometimes the trauma that a person goes through, it has an impact on the brain that when there's some downfall, there's some impediment that gets in the way from a person's progress, the mindset now is, now I have to start from scratch. Or, see, I can't do it. That's what the traumatized brain, because of everything that he or she has been through, that's the automatic default. But the message of Yosef and the Karpas is that even when there's a down, the down could just be part of that redemption process. It doesn't mean that all is lost when there is a down. So moving along from Karpas, of course, then to Yachatz, and then we start Magid. So the introduction to Magid, which again, Magid is the primary mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is in Magid. So the first portion, Halach Ma'anya, I think really sets the tone for the whole mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and really everything that we're going to get through in Magid as well. Because Halach Ma'anya really represents what we call in psychology a dialectic. And a dialectic means you could have two things that seem to be the opposites, but they don't necessarily have to contradict each other. So a person, just to use the case of trauma, a person could have a very difficult time thinking about what happened to them in the past, and they also are able to function in a healthy way even with those memories being there. So it's not that because they have all these memories it gets in the way, which a lot of times it does, but if a person could move past, they could actually still hold on to the difficulties but also be able to do what they're doing. So a dialectic that comes up at the beginning of Halach Ma'anya, of course, is we say, Halach Ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread, Da'achalu Abasana Da'arad Mitzrayim. This was the poor man's bread that the Jewish people ate in Mitzrayim, which basically makes it sound like the whole point of the matzah is to remember that we were poor and we didn't have real bread to eat, so we had to eat matzah. But then we act like rich people. Kodich v'niyasav yecho. Anyone who wants to come join could come join. Kodich v'chisav yefsach. Anyone who needs to include themselves in our meal for the Kohen Pesach could come. So how could you be both? How could you, on the one hand, be poor, but then also anyone who wants to come could come and join? And then just to go on, Hashata Hacha, now we're here, meaning here we're not, even if we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're not in a state of Geula. L'shana Haba, Ba'ad Yisrael. Next year we should be in Israel with the state of Geula. Hashata Avdei, this year we're slaves. L'shana Haba, B'nei Chorin. Next year we want to be B'nei Chorin. So the whole Achmanya is really setting the tone that on the one hand, and this is brought out in the Sefer Shemin Atov, Rabbi Weinberger Zatzal, who writes this, who spells this out, that Halachmania is really about the two aspects of matzah and the two aspects of really the whole Seder night. The matzah both represents lechem oni, that's poor man's bread, is to remember the bread of affliction that we ate when we were slaves, but it's also matzah, it's the lechem she'onin alav harbe, it's the bread that reminds us of the fact that we left Mitzrayim in a rush, and we want people to ask questions, we want to have conversations about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So on the one hand, it's to remember being poor, but on the other hand, it's to remind us of the freedom, that we left Mitzrayim b'chipazon, and we want to talk about that. So the matzah itself represents both. And the continuation of the halachmanya, that on the one hand, we're here, but we're also, our mind is on much bigger things. Our mind is in Eretz Yisrael, our mind is with the coming of the Mashiach, with the Beis Hamikdash. So that the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is really connecting to this Karpas idea from Rav Schachter. It's really about the ups and downs, but about how we could have difficulties, but also feel like kings. We could right now feel like things are good, but they could be better, and we could also have that mindset that we want it to be much better to be in Yerushalayim with the Beis Hamikdash. So that's really what this dialect that the Halachmanya is setting the tone for. And some explain that's even what the Manish Tana is all about. That the Manish Tana is really one big question. That the first question is about Matzah. Second question is about Maror. So that itself is a dialectic. On the one hand, we're having Matzah, which is to remember the fact that we left Mitzrayim in a hurry. It's the freedom. But then on the other hand, the maror. We're supposed to remember how bitter things were. The two dippings, you could also explain by that. The first dipping is the karpas and the salt water, which is supposed to remind us of the sadness. The second dipping, later on with the maror and the charoses, it's unclear exactly what the second dipping is, but what it's supposed to remind us of is the dipping of the Korban Pesach and the blood onto the doorpost, which is the cheres. So the question of what's tonight all about? Is tonight supposed to be about the bitterness? Is it supposed to be about the cheres? And I think that's really what the dialectic is for this whole night, that it's okay to have both. It's okay to be in pain and to realize that there's so much more that we're hoping for. But at the same time, we're appreciating everything that we have. We're trying to mold those two together because that's part of really what being a Jew is all about and what the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. And then really, I think making this point even more clear is the centerpiece of Magid, which of course is the song that we all sing together of Dayenu. So Dayenu is a song where we're saying that Hashem, we thank you so much for each individual thing that you did for us. And even if you would have just done that first thing, that would have been enough. And then we say, but you gave us something else. And even if you would have just given us those two things, that would have been enough. But you even did more for us. So Dayenu really is being able to identify individual things that we thank Hashem for. And I think this is such a contrast to the trauma mindset. Because, and again, just from working with a lot of people who unfortunately have gone through trauma, a lot of times the way the brain is wired when a person has been through so much difficulty is that, okay, something is good right now, but it's just a matter of time until something bad's about to happen. Because when a person goes through difficult times, their brain is wired in such a way sometimes that they're just waiting for the next bad thing to happen, even if things are good. So what Dayenu is coming to tell us is that it's really the exact opposite. It's not that, okay, things are good now, but I'm sure something bad's about to happen. It's the opposite. It's saying that right now, this is good. I could be grateful for this individual thing. Even if nothing else happens that makes it even better, Right now, I could zero in on this and be grateful for just this. And I think this is such an important point when it comes to resilience, to really try to find individual things that one is grateful for, even if not everything around is all perfect. And this is really brought out also, there's a Torah Tzmima in Parshas Vayera, when we of course know there's the Arba Lashono Shogula, as we call them, the four languages of Geula based on the Sukkim at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. But the Torah Tzmima, interestingly, right here in the beginning of Vayera, points out that even though we call it the Arba Lashono Shogula, the four languages of redemption, that's actually not what the Yerushalmi calls them. The Yerushalmi actually says that we have the four cups of wine connected the four geulos, not the four lashon shogula, actually the four redemptions. So the Torah Tzmima says it's a mistake to call it the four languages, because if it were just languages, why would we have to have four cups corresponding for four different terms for the same salvation? So the Torah Tzmima says it must be that it's four individual things that we're thanking Hashem for. And this is how he says it. So he says the first one, of course we know, is Behotzeisi. So the Pasuk says, Behotzeisi Eschem mitachat tzivlos Mitzrayim, that Hashem took us out from the suffering of Mitzrayim. And that's what we're thanking Hashem for. But if we would just stop there, we're basically thanking Hashem, it's okay if you would have kept us as slaves, as servants, thank you for taking away the suffering. So that itself is a reason to thank Hashem. But then we say furthermore, V'yitzalti eschem me'avodasam, you saved us from having to even serve Paro and Mitzrayim. So now it's thanking Hashem, not only did you take away suffering, but you said we don't have to work for him anymore. Then v'ga'alti eschem b'zeron atuya b'shvatim gedolim. Then we say that not only that would have been enough, but you also took us out, that we don't even have to be in Mitzrayim at all. Not just that we don't have to work for Paro, but you totally took us out. And then finally, v'lakachti eschem lila'am, v'yisi lachem l'elokim. And then not only did you take us out of Mitzrayim, and now just say, okay, you're free, now you can do whatever you want, but you made us into the chosen nation. And each one of these individual things is worth thanking Hashem for. So it says the Torah Tzmima, it's not just the four Lashono Shogula, it's the four Geulos, because these are four individual things that we're thanking Hashem for. So this, of course, is the same idea of Dayenu, that we're pointing out individual things to thank Hashem for, as opposed to just saying, okay, you know, I appreciate you did this, but I really could have also used X, Y, and Z. Or I really thank you for this, but I'm sure something else is bound to happen bad. And sometimes I think about this when we go through the Parshios, the Parshios Baloscha, and even in Shemos also, where there's so much complaining from Klal Yisrael. And people often ask, the Mefarshim and just, you know, people in Shul talking about the Parsha, often ask, how could Klal Yisrael be so ungrateful? How could they could be so silly that they're complaining about these, you know, nothing things? Hashem just did so many miracles. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. How could you be complaining so much? So I always think that, you know, one way of understanding it is really in this context of trauma, because, you know, a traumatized mind really does think this way. And these were all people, even though they had the miracles, they still had years and generations of being servants and being traumatized in Mitzrayim. So the mindset sometimes is, okay, things are good now, but what's going to happen next? Where's our food? Where's our water? So there's this anxiety that's still there that Klal Yisrael had in the Midbar that, again, maybe at least partially could be explained by this traumatized mindset. But again, we're trying to use the gratefulness as a way of becoming more resilient and undoing that traumatized mindset. And just a few more thoughts here. So there's another thought that I think also fits in to resilience and overcoming the traumatized mindset. And that's, of course, the mitzvah that we're really discussing. The mitzvah of Chayav Adam Liras as Atzmo Kilu Yatsumi Mitzrayim. So there's a beautiful Netziv, former Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. So he points out that this mitzvah of Chayav Adam Liras as Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatsumi Mitzrayim is reminiscent to the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us that every person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Every person has to believe that the world was created just for me. And of course, that doesn't mean that a person should walk around arrogant and haughty, thinking that they're God's gift to the world and everyone should bend over backwards for them. But the message of that Gemara in Sanhedrin is that to really think that you have such power as an individual, your tefillah matters, your individual mitzvos matter. So the Netziv says that's why it's saying that everyone has to look at themselves individually as if they left Mitzrayim, because it's as if you're saying Hashem took me out. And Hashem wanted, for some reason, Hashem wanted Chesky Gewurz to be his servant. Hashem wanted me to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's an empowering point. But I think the connection to our context of trying to be resilient from trauma, I think is also very powerful, because the traumatized mind often thinks that I'm not worth it. I'm broken. This thing happened to me. It's hard for me to get past the fact that I've been so tainted, I've been so hurt, I've been so broken by this experience. And the Bishvili Nivra Olam is coming along and saying that you matter, and that it's not just about having to be connected to Klal Yisrael. Of course, that's a huge value that we believe in. But you as an individual also matter. And I think during, again, these difficult times where we're doing more things individually, it's even more important to remember that, yes, your individual tefillah, that matters. And your individual mitzvahs that you're doing when no one else is looking, it's just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that really matters. And that's part of this message, that we have to remind ourselves, we have to imagine, as if we left Mitzrayim, because we matter as individuals. And again, this is getting over the traumatized mindsets of Klal Yisrael, perhaps, as they were leaving Mitzrayim, of I'm worthless, I'm broken, I can't move on, I can't do what I have to do as an individual, I need everyone else. But the power of the individual is what's highlighted here. So we're almost out of time, so just to summarize a few of the points that we brought up. So we mentioned how when it comes to trauma, first of all, it's important to remember and to talk about what happened, what the difficult times were, and that's represented in the Maschil B'Gnus, Messiah B'Shvach, to not just go straight to the good times, but to actually put to words and to talk about and explore the difficult times, and that helps the healing process. We also spoke about how the concept of Seder, the structure and having predictability, is a way of healing from trauma. We also spoke about Kiddush and how sanctifying time and reminiscent of the fact that Klal Yisrael lost the ability of having Shabbos when they were in Mitzrayim to reflect and to think about not just what it means to be a Jew, but to be hopeful for the future, that things will get better and that there will be a Geula. Then we spoke about Karpas, which represents the ups and downs, the Shemen HaTov, bringing out the Halach Ma'anya point of the dialectic of that things can be difficult and we could also be hopeful at the same time. We could have difficult memories, we could have difficult challenges, but also think positive and try to make the most of situations. And then we had the gratefulness brought out from Dayenu, based on the Torah Tzmima, about the four geulos, not the four Lashon Rosho geula. And then the Netziv bringing out this point about the individual and remembering that individuals matter and that a person can move on from being a slave and to have a free mindset. So just to end with the thought about hopefully the coming of Mashiach very soon. So there's a very famous custom, as we know, to have Eliyahu HaNavi come to the door at the end of the Seder, and we say Shvoch HaMascha El Hagayim. So there's a beautiful idea of why Eliyahu HaNavi is invited to every Bris Milah. And this was quoted in my mother-in-law wrote an article for YU Torah a few years ago. Dr. Dina Rabinovich wrote this up, about how we invite Eliyahu HaNavi to a bris, because Eliyahu HaNavi actually tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at your nation, they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, and they've been made for the bris. They've broken the covenant. So we bring Eliyahu to the bris milah to say, Eliyahu, look, we're actually not breaking the bris. We're actually keeping the bris. And hopefully in that schus, Eliyahu HaNavi will see and say, okay, I'll be the bringer of the good news that Mashiach's coming. So perhaps you could say that this is why we bring Eliyahu HaNavi to the Tower Seder as well. Because we know that Eliyahu HaNavi, with the famous song that we sing, the famous Pasuk, that Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi, Hine yom ba Hashem agada v'hanora v'heishiv leiv avos al banim v'leiv banim al avosam. That when Eliyahu Navi comes, with the different generations, the children and the parents, parents and children, will all be doing tshuva together, will all be trying to connect to Hashem together. So perhaps when we bring Eliyahu Navi and the families together, even if we're not going to be necessarily with all the generations this year, but when the family is remembering how Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim and how great Hashem is to Klal Yisrael and how Hashem loves us and how we just want to do Hashem's will, when Eliyahu Navi sees that, maybe he'll say, you know what, Klal Yisrael is ready. Klal Yisrael is ready for me to tell them that the Mashiach is coming. And that's really how we end with Nirtza, that our whole avoda, the whole avoda of the Seder, should be accepted. Nirtza means like a korban. Benirtza lo lechaper alav, that the korban should be accepted. So Mirtza Hashem, by trying to use the lessons of the Seder, and there's so many more, but just the ones that we highlighted are just a few, the lessons of the Seder to try to overcome the mindset of the traumatized nation that Klal Yisrael were as they were avadim. And they should use these skills, and we should use these skills to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu more in our lives, and hopefully in that way, we could bring the Mashiach. B'meir b'yameinu amen. Everyone should have a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, and have a great night.